I have a question for you as we get started with the message this morning. We're going to be in Amos chapter 3. But as you're turning to Amos 3, what are some common excuses that just drive you nuts? Anybody want to share any common excuses that you hear that just drive you crazy? Yeah, Isabella? What's that? He's only six? Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to start a family fight this morning. That wasn't the intention of this exercise. All right. That's a good example, though, Isabella. Appreciate that. Any other excuses that just drive you crazy? I don't think anybody's going to beat that, but maybe somebody's got something.
He or she did it.
What's that? He or she did it? Yep. I didn't do it. Yep, they did it. Yep. Go ahead. Yep. Yell what you got. No, Jonathan, you go ahead. She started it, yep.
They made me do it.
They made me do it, yeah. Any other excuses? I forgot. What's that?
That's the way it's always been.
It's not my fault.
Yeah, the refs like the Chiefs more, yep. That's why they win. Yeah, we'll find out next week. Knox? I accidentally ate fish. Okay. All right. Some of you might be thinking, maybe you didn't want to yell it out. I'm sure everybody thought of something when I asked that question. You thought of an excuse that just drives you crazy, or maybe you thought of several of them. But the other question I want to ask, and this is a rhetorical question, but how many of those excuses have you used before? You know, maybe you thought of an excuse that you didn't yell out, but you were thinking of it, but then we need to challenge ourselves. Have you used that excuse? Maybe even recently. An excuse that you hate it when you hear other people say, but you've used that same excuse. You know, my purpose this morning in this message is that you will live by action and not by excuses. You know, we're prone to inaction because of excuses, aren't we? Don't fail to act because of excuses. Don't fail to listen to the Word of God by making excuses. Don't fail to obey the Word of God by making excuses. Don't fail to help others follow the Word of God by making excuses. We know from what we're seeing in the book of Amos, and we know from what we studied this morning in family groups, that the nation of Israel was full of excuses. And yet there's a challenge, there's a call, and we know, thankfully, Amos wasn't full of excuses, at least not when he was called here by the Lord to proclaim his word. So we're going to look at Amos chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Amos chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Listen to this message that the Lord has spoken against you Israelites, against the entire clan that I brought from the land of Egypt. I have known only you out of all the clans of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together without agreeing to meet? Does a lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? Does a young lion growl from its lair unless it has captured something? Does a bird land in a trap on the ground if there is no bait for it? Does a trap spring from the ground when it has caught nothing? If a ram's horn is blown in a city, aren't people afraid? Okay, so notice, and get ready, we're going to finish in verse 6 here, but notice here, that in these verses 4 to 6, there's these cause and effect disasters that are happening. And they finish with the ultimate disaster, which is God's judgment. And so it says here at the end of verse 6, if a disaster occurs in a city, hasn't the Lord done it? Indeed, the Lord God does nothing without revealing his counsel to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who will not prophesy? You see, when God's word is revealed, his people must speak. And so, verse 9, proclaim on the citadels in Ashdod and on the citadels in the land of Egypt. Assemble on the mountains of Samaria and see the great turmoil in the city and the acts of oppression within it. The people are incapable of doing right. This is terrible, but we get it, because let's recognize this is all of us, if not for the grace of God. We are incapable of doing right. The people, all of us, are incapable of doing right. The Lord's declaration, those who store up violence and destruction in their citadels. Therefore, the Lord God says, an enemy will surround the land. He will destroy your strongholds and plunder your citadels. The Lord says, as the shepherd snatches two legs or a piece of an ear from the lion's mouth, so the Israelites who live in Samaria will be rescued with only the corner of a bed or the cushion of a couch. Listen and testify against the house of Jacob. This is the declaration of the Lord God, the God of hosts. I will punish the altars of Bethel. On the day I punish Israel for its crimes, the horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. I will demolish the winter house and the summer house. The houses inlaid with ivory will be destroyed, and the great houses will come to an end. The Lord's declaration. Father God, we pray for wisdom this morning to understand the truth of your word in such a way that we will be compelled to live by action and not by excuses, that we would be convicted to turn from the ways of the world, to stop making excuses for a failure to listen to and heed and obey your word, and would instead respond in faith and obedience and surrender. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so the book of Amos, of course, as we've gone now through a couple chapters, we see that it's about God's just judgment, right? And in the sermon series through this prophet's account, I want us to be challenged to focus on how our walk with the Lord affects our pursuit of righteous justice. How are we pursuing in our everyday lives righteous justice? How can we return to the basics of faithful biblical devotion, just like we read this morning out of the catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, just some of those basics of our faith and the foundations of the Christian faith. So far, we've discussed how God's justice is authoritative, and so because of that, we need to submit to his authority. We've talked about how God's justice is serious, and we have to take his word seriously. We talked about that last week. Today, we'll look at how God's justice is right. God's justice is right. He is reasonable. He is true. And his justice is good. His justice is right. And so what I said earlier, if God's justice is right, sorry, Dennis, I got it. I was a little behind. If God's justice is right, live by action and not by excuses. Making excuses is easy, right? And so as a result, making excuses is common. We've probably all made an excuse before we got here today about something. And so it's common to make excuses. Living by action is necessary, though. But living by action is difficult. And so living by action is not common. It's the uncommon thing. Let's not give in to the easy and common path. Let's trust God, who is right, and let us do what is right. Let's live by action according to the word of God. And so from Amos 3, I want you to notice three necessary actions for believers. God is true, his justice is right, and so what must we do? What should our action be? If you believe, how should you act as a result? If you believe the word of God, how must we behave and act if we believe the Lord and thus we believe his justice is right? One necessary action for believers is to understand what's right. Understand what's right. God's justice is right and perfect. Understand him and understand his justice. No excuses, right? Action. Understand. So look back at verse 1 again. We see we're called to listen. Listen. We must continually heed this advice ourselves. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the warnings. Listen to the judgment for sin. Listen to what we all deserve. We see it here. God's justice is right, and so listen and understand. That's an action that we need to heed because God's word calls us continually. And let's recognize that is an action, by the way, to listen. It's a very underappreciated and undervalued action today, but we need to listen. Most importantly, listen to the word of God. Verse 2, understand your place. The people of Israel, they thought Amos had no right to confront them because, hey, they were God's chosen people. But God said through Amos that it was because they were God's chosen people that they would indeed face God's just judgment. Learn and understand the obvious lesson. So if you look at verse 3, can two walk together without agreeing to meet? You know, when I walk my dog in the mornings, one, and I'm walking down the road here, no one just randomly walks up alongside me and just starts walking with me. First of all, that'd be a little weird, wouldn't it? Like just, they're just, all of a sudden they're walking with it. That'd be weird. No, that doesn't happen. See, it wouldn't happen because we're not on the same page. Like we didn't decide to start walking together, so people don't just start walking with me. We haven't decided anything together. Now, sometimes I do walk with other people, whether it's with my wife or whether it's with a friend or something. I might go for a walk with someone, but not until we agree to meet. Not until we decide, we agree on a common goal, a certain time, a certain place. You don't walk with me unless that happens, right? And neither can or will you walk with God if you're not on the same page with him. You can't disregard his word. And you can't just say, well, nah, and just claim to be walking with him while disregarding this. Israel wasn't walking with him because they turned away from him. If you're not over here on County Road 210 in the morning, and instead if you're at the YMCA in Fulton, then we're not walking together. Because I'm here and you're there. So you don't say, yeah, what are you doing right now? I'm walking with Nick. No, you're not. We're in a different place. We're not on the same page. And if you're not seeking and following the Lord according to his word, then you're not walking with him. Understand what's right. So look at verse 4 then. These verses are making the point that when one thing is true, something else is the reality. And so if a lion roars, it's not a reasonable thing, well, it's got prey. If a young lion growls, it's not a reasonable assume it's captured something. And so he's making these common sense analogies to help us see the point that he's going to get to in verse 6. Birds, they're not dumb, or at least they're not that dumb, right? They don't fly into traps without something drawing them there. And traps, they don't randomly spring into action unless something causes them to spring. If they're working the way they're supposed to, they don't just randomly spring into action. Something causes them to do that. An alarm of warning in a city, verse 6, especially in those days, would obviously instill fear in people. Maybe, just imagine, maybe you're someone who's terrified of tornadoes, for example, and a thunderstorm's rolling in and you hear the tornado siren. What do? You run to the basement, right, if you have one, because you're afraid. And some of you knuckleheads run outside and look for the tornado. And then there's everything in between. But the point that is being made here, yeah, this is normal. If you hear the ram's horn, you know, if you have any common sense, fear comes. That's what happens. If disaster occurs in a city, hasn't the Lord done it? They're words that not a lot of people want to hear. But all of these words of understanding are about violence in judgment. If you notice these verses, notice that he gives all these examples. They're violent things that are happening, unpleasant things that are happening. And this is for a reason. It's for a reason that these are the examples he gives. Because look at verse 7 then. Indeed, the Lord does nothing without revealing his counsel to his servants, the prophets. God, see, God's not trying to trick you or leave you confused. We have no excuses. He's given us his word. He's given us his word. So he's not trying to leave us out there just wondering, well, I wonder what that ram's horn's all about, or I wonder what this. No, it's he's trying to make it very clear, and he's given us, we have no excuses. We have his word. And so let's let the prayer of our hearts be the prayer of Psalm 119, when he said, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Will you agree with the psalmist? Will you seek the Lord? Will you look to his word? Will you prioritize this? This fits with what we talked about this morning. You know, there's a question. I don't know if some of the classes, but in our class, Adam asked the question, you know, why do we memorize scripture and how does that help us to not complain? Well, when we treasure God's word in our hearts, that helps us to not sin against him. What is complaining? It's sinning against God, not being grateful for what he's given us. Understand what's right. Think about it. If you understand what's right, aren't you more likely to do what's right? Now, sure, that's not always the case because we sin, we fall short. But if you understand what's right, it helps because you can't do what's right if you don't understand what's right. The more we understand, the easier it is to have the proper attitude, the proper perspective in our everyday lives. So let's think about this morning, then the Gospel Project lesson. Kids, what was the lesson about in family groups this morning? What was it about? Yeah, yell it out. I can't see you. Yeah, George, yell it out. Okay, forgiveness. What was the story? What was the story, George? Yeah, the Israelites, Moses and Aaron and the Israelites, and what did they do? Okay, yeah. But what was the overarching, what were they doing with towards God? What were they doing? That fits with it, George. But what was the overarching thing the Israelites were doing, George? They were sinning because they were doing what, Riley? They were complaining. They were complaining. It was about God giving the people what they needed. God gave them exactly what they needed, and what did they do? They wanted more. I know none of you have ever done that, right? You're totally content with what you have. I've never heard any complaining. I've never complained, right? No, of course not. Did any of you make it to the building this morning without complaining about something? Because, I mean, I think I complained multiple times. Usually it's in my own mind I'm complaining, but, I mean, can we even make it to a church building without complaining? Can we make it through a Sunday school class without complaining? Can we make it through the service without complaining? No, you see, what did they do? They complained. They were ungrateful. They failed to recognize and accept God's goodness. But in Christ, we have everything we need. God doesn't look at us like we as parents sometimes, we look at our kids and we think, oh man, I've failed in this way. I haven't quite prepared them for this, or I haven't quite given them. I wish I could do more, because we know that we're not perfect. But God doesn't ever look at us as his children and say, oh man, if only I'd done better for them. God, in Christ, we have everything we need. Everything we need, no exceptions. Do you understand that though? Do you believe that? Understand what's right. Secondly, then, respond to what's right. So again, tying this in with this morning's lesson from the Gospel Project, we respond to what's right. God's faithful provision, God's perfect justice. We respond to what's right by obeying his word. That's how we respond. We respond by obedience, knowing that we all deserve his judgment, all of us. We deserve God's judgment. But in Christ, we have victory. So respond to what's right. So look at verse 8 again. Verse 8 says, a lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who will not prophesy? God's warning of judgment is clear. So fear the Lord. That's the call here. That's the necessary response. Respond to what's right. Fear the Lord. Know the truth. You know, God is in control. He's sovereign over all things. And so the call that we're seeing in the book of Amos is to turn to him. God knows all that is good. He's given us everything we need. Know the truth. Believe the truth. Speak the truth. Respond to what's right. Remember, Amos wasn't a professionally trained prophet. He was a shepherd. But the Lord God has spoken, who will not prophesy? God is not limited by our abilities or our shortcomings. If he calls you to do something, he will equip you to do it. The question is, will you respond in obedience? So, just as an example, I'm going to use him since he's not here. Pastor Carson, he was a quiet farmer, and he was a salesman at Modern Farm several years ago. Some of you knew him. I went to college with Carson, so I got to know him a little bit when we were at Northwest together. But he's a quiet guy, right? Still quiet in some ways, but so he's working at Modern Farm as a salesman. He's a farmer. But God compelled him to preach the word. Now, he responded to that call, and we've been blessed to hear him preach many times over the years. In fact, before I was coming here, he was preaching once a month on average. Every Sunday, once a month, he was preaching here, and he's continued to preach throughout the years, and now he preaches at different churches in the community when he's needed. Now, he's not compelled to do this full-time. He works full-time. He works at the bank. He keeps up with his farm, and so he's working other things, But you'll be hard-pressed to find Carson saying no when there's a church that needs him to preach, including this church. This morning, he's preaching at Mineola Baptist, just across the county line. We have other lay pastors. We have other leaders in our church who they might have never dreamed or never imagined that they'd be preaching or teaching or leading in the way that they're leading right now, doing the ministry that they're doing, serving in the way that they're serving 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe 1 year ago. They never imagined they'd be doing what they're doing right now, and yet here they are. How do you need to respond to God's call on your life right now? What's the next step in your walk with Him? Because the church dies if we just sit on the chair on Sunday mornings. If that's all we do is we come and sit on the chair, the church dies. Praise God that there's a lot of you that don't just come and sit on the chair. But too many are content to just sit in the chair and let everyone else do something, where God is working in your heart. God's compelling you to do something, to take that next step. So how will you respond? Understand what's right, respond to what's right. Thirdly, then, declare what's right. Make sure others know, right? Know of God's justice that is right. Know of God's justice that is certain, that is promised. Declare what's right, declare the truth. God's word is clear. God has spoken, and so we must speak. So we see in verse 9, proclaim. Proclaim everywhere to everyone. Proclaim the truth. Declare what's right. Call on people to understand and respond. Yes, verse 10, the Lord's declaration. Israel had these enemies who were terrible to them. We've seen in the first 1.5 chapters God's justice on those enemies. But even their evil enemies didn't bring about as much harm and devastation as they brought on themselves. It's like that old saying, the worst enemy is the enemy within. So just like we saw last week in chapter 2, it was the injustice happening among their own people. Among their own people in Israel that was so disgusting, it was so devastating. It was what they were doing to themselves. What they were doing to one another. It is the Lord's warning, verse 11. Israel was so corrupt, they were so evil, that even pagans were going to be used by God to judge Israel. Samaria had power and wealth, but that wasn't enough to deliver them. Samaria at the time, the capital of Israel, that wasn't enough. They weren't going to be delivered because of that. In other words, there's nothing you can do to deliver yourself from the judgment you deserve. And more, verse 12, here we have a powerful picture in verse 12 and throughout the rest of this chapter, a powerful picture of Israel's destruction by God's just judgment. And don't miss the point here. So think about this. If a shepherd is able to save a leg or an ear of a lamb from the lion, what happens to the lamb? Or what happened to the lamb? It's dead. You don't come back with a leg and say, it's all good. Unless you're hungry and you're going to eat it. I mean, that's not good news. I got the ear. All good here? No. So the shepherd would bring that back to the owner and say, look, I didn't steal the lamb. I didn't sell the lamb. I didn't take your sheep. It's dead. Here's the proof. I got the leg out of the lion's mouth, but that's all I got. The body part is only good to show the owner of the sheep the proof that the sheep is dead. And so let's apply this to our lives right now. Let's understand this is about total devastation for all who do not turn to the Lord. This isn't about a remnant. Some people read this and think, oh, it's about a remnant being saved. It's not about a remnant, but instead it's about judgment. It's about destruction. You see, there would simply be pieces of evidence left to show the destruction that had occurred. Now, granted, and the reason that some people get confused, God did save a remnant, just as He promised He would. He did save a remnant. But the message here in Amos 3, is about just judgment and destruction. Turn to the Lord. Declare what's right. Listen, verse 13, and testify. Sin has consequences. To love someone is to share this truth. To declare what's right. That's what it is to love someone. They even had sins that came from their religious efforts, we see in verse 14. And they would have had no place for asylum because that's what the horns of the altar provided. So you had these horns on an altar, and so when someone needed asylum, they would go and grab those horns, and they were safe there. With even those being cut off, where could the people go? What could they do? God's just judgment was coming for the people that thought they were okay. Verse 15, the Lord's declaration. What is the Lord's declaration? It's vast judgment. And even the upper class could not be delivered from judgment and destruction. Their winter homes, their summer homes. It didn't matter. It just in certain judgment, declare what's right. This is what God's people are called to do. Think about this for a second. You might be reading this, okay, that was back in Amos's time. Things are different now. Same God. Same God who is perfectly just. Same God who is promising judgment for all who do not turn to him. And so what are God's people called to do? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Here's our application. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So he's talking to believers in Jesus Christ here. All those who have trusted in Jesus, this is you. What? Why then? What do? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Will you declare what's right this week? Will you? Do you believe with enough conviction to declare what's right? Do you understand enough to declare what's right? Are you in the Word? Do you care about others enough to declare what's right? Do you know and follow Jesus so that you can't help but to declare what's right? Remember, I said my purpose today is that you would live by action, not by excuses. Because when I say declare what's right, if you're like me, excuses start to pop in. Oh, but you know, they're not quite ready. Or, oh, this might offend them. Or, oh, you know, they might have a question that you don't have the answer to. And so we start thinking of all the excuses of why not to do what God's word clearly calls us to do. Understand what's right, respond to what's right, declare what's right. Don't make excuses, but live by action. Ask for God's help. Because we can't live by action apart from God's grace and help. Walk and work alongside others in the faith. We say it all the time, gospel, family, mission. We are not alone in this. We are saved by the grace of God. We are called by the grace of God. We are equipped by the grace of God. And we are put in a family by the grace of God so that we are not alone in the efforts that he calls us to fulfill. Firstly, though, are you sure that you can live by action? Because it's only possible if you truly surrender your all to Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. God's design and plan for your life is perfect. And his plan starts with you being in a right relationship with him. But the reality is we all sin. We all sin and fall short of God's perfect standard. And that sin leads to brokenness for every single one of us. Brokenness so that we do not understand what's right. Brokenness so that we fail to respond to what's right. Brokenness so that we are too cowardly to declare what is right to those around us. Brokenness is devastating. Most importantly, a broken relationship with God, which means we all deserve to spend eternity in hell because our relationship with a perfect God is broken. And so we deserve so much worse than the judgment that we're reading about in Amos. We deserve it for eternity. But praise God for the good news of the gospel, the only thing that can deliver us from brokenness, the truth that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He died in our place. He died because of our brokenness. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. He won the victory over sin and death forever. And so the Bible tells us that if we simply repent, which is to turn away from sin, if we turn from sin and believe in Jesus alone to save us and to forgive us and to make us right with God, that's what he does. Turning from your sin and surrendering your life to Jesus is the only way to be saved from brokenness now and brokenness for eternity. We're still broken, but we're being changed day by day, understanding, responding, declaring. Because as Jesus changes your life, you begin to recover and pursue that perfect plan and purpose that God has for your life, understanding and responding and declaring. Not only do you have the promise of eternal life, you have God in your life now to change you and to grow you through the work of His Holy Spirit. So you'll never be the same again. So let us understand too, let us respond to, and let us declare what is right. Follow Jesus and help others to follow Jesus. Please, let's recognize God's justice is right. And so let's live by action as people who believe this. Let's not make excuses, but let's live by action. Father God, we pray for your help today because we know that in and of ourselves, we are completely incapable of living by action. We just want to make excuses. We just want to come up with reasons that we can't serve in this ministry in the church. Let someone else do it. We just want to come up with reasons we can't walk across the street to our neighbors and invite them to a Sunday service and tell them why our lives are different because of what Jesus has done for us. We want to think of reasons not to talk to our teammates, classmates, coworkers. We've got plenty of excuses. It's easy to come up with them. So God, we ask for your help because we know we need your grace. We need the conviction of your Spirit to compel us and enable us to be the people you've called us to be, to live the lives you've called us to live, to do the things you've called us to do. But Father, I want to pray especially this morning for those maybe who have excuses for not turning from sin and trusting in Jesus to save them. Please give them the desire this morning to act upon the conviction that is in their heart right now, to respond to the good news of the gospel, to cry out to you for salvation, to call on you to make them right, knowing that none of us is good enough, none of us is smart enough, none of us is holy enough. We all need the blood of the cross. We all need the life that comes from the resurrection. So, Father, I pray that those who are here this morning who haven't yet trusted in you, that you'd open their hearts, that you'd compel them to respond today, to live by action. And, Father, help all of us to live by action in our everyday lives, to be disciples who are making disciples. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.